Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for who You are. We thank You for, Lord, for who You are and for what You do. For what You are doing in our midst as a fellowship of believers, as a congregation. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You that You're using this little fellowship to bless others, to do stuff all the way around the other side of the globe, Lord. And we're grateful for that. Lord, we know we don't deserve to be used by You, but because of Your grace and Your mercy, You're using us and You're working through us. And Lord, really, I think more than that, we're grateful that You're working in us. Lord, we're thankful that You care so much about us as individuals, that You speak to us. And Lord, that's what we want now. As we turn our attention to Your Word, we pray that You would speak to us through Your Word, that You'd give us ears to hear, hearts that are receptive, ready to receive from You. Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, bless this time now that we spend in Your Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is, If You Want, You Can Bless the Lord. Now, have you ever thought about blessing the Lord? And the definition of blessed or blessed or whatever for our use today, there's several different definitions, but the one that we're using today really is to mean to be happy, to make happy. And have you ever thought about that? That if it's possible to make God happy, to make God smile? You ever thought about that? If what you're doing maybe makes God smile? I think most of my life I have spent wondering, have I made God angry again? But have you ever thought about that? Lord, in what I am doing, is that pleasing You? Does that enter your heart that you care that God is pleased with what you are doing? You know, David, King David, he also wrote most of the Psalms. He had that desire to please God, to make God smile, to bless Him. In Psalms 103, verse 1, he wrote, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, understand, before we go any further, that you do not have to do anything for the Lord to love you. You don't have to earn His love. There's nothing you can do to get Him to love you more than He already does. Think about that. God loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son. Not just to be an example, not just to live as a man among men, although He did that. He was fully man at the same time He was fully God. But He sent Him to die in our place. He sent Him to pay that price that we deserve to pay. No greater love has anyone than He would lay down His life for His friend. Jesus Himself said in the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, He said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, you can't improve on that kind of love. In Romans 5, verse 8, it talks about Him loving us while we were still sinners. That's a love, folks, that you can't do anything to make better. That's a love that, because God is love, and whatever God is, He is perfectly, that's a perfect love that God loves us with. And see, not only can we not do anything to get Him to love us more, but you can't do anything, you don't have to do anything to earn salvation or to keep salvation. It's a free gift, like Jesus said, that all we have to do is whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, you can't earn salvation. You can't do anything that would say to God, Okay, now You owe me. You've got to let me into heaven. He's taken out of that realm for us. He said, No, it's going to be simply by grace, through faith. You put your faith, your trust, your belief in Me, and by My grace, I save you. And we stay saved by that same grace. We don't have to do anything for God. But the only reason to do anything for God or to give anything to God is out of love and gratitude for what He has already done and is doing for us. That's the only reason we would ever do that. In fact, David, that was what was on his heart too, as he wrote there in Psalms 103. The next verse, verse 2, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, when you start thinking about all of the benefits there is to serving the Lord, to being adopted into His family, oh man, you want to bless the Lord when you think about that. When you think about all He's done for us and all it means to be adopted into His family. Oh man, if you really understand that, you can't help but praise Him. You can't help but want to bless Him. And if your real desire is to bless somebody though, even when it comes to God, you know, it really is one of those things that you need to know what a blessing is to the person you want to bless, right? Like, let's say you're talking and you're thinking, oh, we want to bless Pastor Tony and his wife, you know, and you say, you know, Pastor Tony, we want to bless you. We want to have you over for dinner to our house. You know, we just want to bless you. And so you invite us to dinner. And, you know, maybe you don't know anything about my wife and I, but let's say if your idea of an awesome dinner is to have the most amazing salad in the world with 27 different dressings available, and you set that in front of us, and this is a vegetarian's delight, you know? Now, my wife, you would bless her socks off. If she was wearing socks, they would be on the other side of the room, because poof! They would just be so blood bang, you know. She'd be, wow, I've died and gone to heaven. Me, on the other hand, I would look at the salad and I would say, how sweet. They wanted to bless me. Well, what a awesome heart they had to have that in their heart to want to bless me and this salad. I'd give you an A for effort. But I'd be looking at the salad and go, this ain't food. This is what food eats. Yeah. However, after the salad, if you set down in front of me this big, fat, juicy ribeye, and it's just still sizzling right off of the barbecue, and it's medium rare, man, I would be blessed. I would be blessed big time. But you know, it's the same way with God, though. What we think ought to bless Him isn't necessarily so. But God loves us so much, and He wants us to be able to have that opportunity to bless Him, that He tells us how to bless Him, how to be a blessing to Him. And, you know, the tricky part is, though, you know, when you think about blessing God and doing things for God, giving to God and all of that kind of stuff, you know, you can't help but think about Cain. Remember? Cain and Abel, they brought their sacrifices to God. And God accepted Abel's, but He rejected Cain's. And Cain was upset. Remember that? He got so mad that he stewed on it for a while and he ended up killing his brother because of it. He was so jealous, so envious, so mad because Abel's sacrifice was accepted. But see, God had told them both, here's how you bless me. Here's what you do. Here's what you bring. But see, Cain, he didn't care. He didn't care if he was really blessing God. He was just going through the motions. He was just doing it because he felt he had to do it. He had this obligation to do that. He had no love for God. And that's really the tricky part, because sometimes we can do things for God, or supposedly for God, or say they're for God, and our hearts can be very wrong. We can do it with the wrong motive, with the wrong attitude. You know, Jesus warned us about doing something to be seen by men. And Jesus said, if you do that for that reason, well, you've got your reward. That's it. That's all you're getting. But He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Then you're going to be blessed by your Father in heaven. He's going to bless you openly because of that. But see, our hearts can deceive us. And we can do things with the wrong motive, the wrong attitude, and even feel good about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done something for God and at the time you felt, oh yeah, man, God's got to be blessed with this. Only to have a week or so later, you know, maybe you listen to a teaching on the Christian radio, or you hear a sermon at church or something, and you find out, oh, it wasn't good. I didn't do good when I did that. And you feel bad because the Holy Spirit convicted you. You know, a lot of you guys are doing the poker face. Not me. No. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. We've all done that. See, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we can't even know our own heart. And today we're going to see that anyone can bless the Lord if they want to. And God gives direction on how to bless Him to Israel. And that this direction He gives to them was so that the sacrifices that they would make would be a blessing. And He also provides a heart check in the process. So let's go ahead and start now in Leviticus 1, verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying... Now, before we see what God said from the tabernacle, understand that this verse here really connects Leviticus to what we saw last week in the book of Exodus. Remember when we were in chapter 40 and we saw that they had erected the tabernacle? They put it all together, got all the furnishing together, and then they dedicated. And God's presence came down upon the tabernacle. And His presence was so heavy, so awesome, that Moses couldn't even go into the tabernacle. Remember that? Well, here, God speaks from the tabernacle of meeting. He calls out to Moses from the tabernacle. The rest of the time through the Old Testament, that as we're going through, especially the Pentateuch, the first five books, the rest of the time we're going to see that God speaks to Moses from the Ark of the Covenant. That Moses is inside the tabernacle. And that's when God speaks to him. Here, Moses is outside the tabernacle, and God is speaking to him from the tabernacle. So it really ties in the book of Exodus here with Leviticus. Now, verse 2, God says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock." So first thing we see about this kind of offering is the worshiper couldn't offer it at home. He had to bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. Now, I know that this has been the case with a number of believers. I have heard people say these kind of things. Somebody listening to Moses as he reiterates what God says here might think, "Well, hey man, I ought to be able to give to God on my terms, where I want, and when I want." You ever had that attitude? You ever thought that, "Hey, God says this, but this should be good enough. This, you know, whatever I want to do, that God ought to accept." Well, that's a heart check, isn't it? Isn't that really a heart check? Do you really want to bless the Lord with what you're doing? See, if you really want to bless the Lord, then you're concerned with, well, what is a blessing to Him? How can I bless Him? What does He say is a blessing? How does He want me to bless Him? Okay, and so He gives him that instruction there. And this was an offering, a burnt offering, not a sin offering. Although atonement for sin was made with it, this offering was actually for consecrating and devoting oneself to God. And notice here, he mentions the offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. Two different classes, you might say, of offerings. They have different costs to the worshipers. See, of the herd would be cattle, a bull, as we'll see here. Of the flocks would be a sheep or a goat. And bulls were much more expensive, just like they are today. If you go down and you want to buy a whole cow, it's going to cost you a lot more than buying a sheep, right? Than buying a goat. And this is what God is saying here. That He gives this availability to offer to Him a sacrifice that He accepts, but it's really something that He bases upon, look, you know, you, if you're poor, you don't have to give what this rich guy gives. God sees the heart. And in fact, when you get to verses 14 through 17, He even mentions birds would be included in this kind of sacrifice. That was for the really poor. And you know what? It's just kind of a side note. Mary and Joseph were poor. Do you know that? Because when you look at Luke 2, verse 24, you can look that later up. Look it up later. You can look that up later and you see that they brought two turtle doves. And so they must have been poor because this was the poorest offering. But understand this, that no matter which of the sacrifices that were given, if it was given as God prescribed, all of those sacrifices were acceptable to God. He was pleased with them. He was blessed by them. Now, verse 3, it says, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Now, a male without blemish. That really speaks of Jesus, doesn't it? That He was a man. And that He was without sin. He was without blemish. And we saw all that. We won't go into it right now in great detail. When we looked at the Passover lamb. And we saw how Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. But something to note here is as He's talking about this sacrifice of the herd, that the same standard was also for an offering of the flocks, whether it was a sheep or a goat. Look down at verse 10. It says, if his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. So it's the same standard there that they were to bring God the best. They were to bring a male without blemish. Not something that was worthless to that person. Well, this thing's just about ready to die, so let's give it to God. You know, God didn't want that. If you really want to bless God, he's saying, well then, do what's right here. Bring it, bring the best. But notice here, he says, of his own free will. This was something that somebody did not have to do. They didn't have to bring this kind of an offering. That was something that it was by their own choice that they would bring this sacrifice. But if they chose to sacrifice to God in this way, God wouldn't accept anything but the best. He wants them to know that. And you know, really, seriously, folks, we shouldn't think that God is pleased with half-hearted offerings or half-hearted service, should we? Should we really think the God of the universe, who has done so much for us, who is so awesome, and requires only faith in Him? He didn't make us go scale the Himalayas. He didn't make us go door to door and after you knock on your 250th door, then I'll let you into heaven. He didn't do that. He said, I love you. I sent my Son. Just put your trust in me. Put your trust in what my Son did for you. And you're saved. And when you think about that and what He did, shouldn't we be desiring to bless God, to give to Him everything? I mean, to give whatever it is that would make Him smile. I mean, what does it say about us when we have that, well, it's good enough kind of attitude? What's that say about our love for God? Understand, remember, you don't have to give this, he said. That nobody had to give this. But if you did, what would it say about having that good enough attitude? Oh, I've heard that before from believers. And this one guy... Yeah, I heard it several times from him. And it would get me angry every time. And he would say, well, it's good enough. It's just for God. Yeah? It's just for church. It's not like we're selling it or something. You know, it's good enough kind of thing. And is that really honoring God when we offer Him less than our best? Aren't we being a lot like Cain at that point? It's good enough. Hey, like it or lump it, God. You ought to be happy with anything. Kind of thing. See, David, King David, he understood this concept. He understood that in order for the sacrifice to mean something, it had to cost him something. That it was something that had to mean something to him. Or else it wasn't a sacrifice. I won't go into the details behind the why that David is doing this, but in 1 Chronicles 21, verses 22 through 26, it says, then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it yourself, and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Now, that's a pretty generous guy, isn't it? This guy Ornan? He said, well, you want to give it to the Lord? Well, here, man, just take it. Take it, just take it. It's for God. Go for it. Now, it would be tempting for David to do that. It'd be tempting for just about anybody to say, well, okay, it doesn't matter if it costs me anything or not, but I mean, somebody's offering this sacrifice, and God ought to be pleased with that, right? Look at David's heart, though. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings. What an attitude. What an awesome heart that he wanted to bless God. He wanted to give of God. He wasn't willing to sacrifice, because it wouldn't be a sacrifice unless it cost him something. What a contrast David's attitude was to the Israelites during the time of Malachi. Listen to what God himself says to his people in Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. This is God speaking. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. That's God speaking. Think about what he's saying there. You want to bring the garbage and offer it to me? Bring it to your governor. See what the reaction is. See if he would be happy with that kind of offering. You know, you bring your roadkill to him and see how happy he is. No, you wouldn't do that. God's calling him on this. In verse 9, he goes on, now again, God speaking, but now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. See what he's saying there? Who's there among you that would shut the doors? He's talking about the doors to go into the tabernacle where the offerings were made. He says, isn't there one priest there that loves me enough to not want to see my altar and my tabernacle profaned? Somebody ought to get up and shut the doors so you don't let that kind of stuff happen. But there's nobody to do that. In verse 11 he says, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness! And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Some translations say, this is the way you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Isn't he? Isn't he a great king? Isn't he someone who we should honor, who we should respect? We've talked about it before, and I know some believers get their socks in a knot when you talk about the fear of God. But it was something that the old timers in our country, 100 years ago, you know, and all over, talked about a lot, about the fear of the Lord, about the fear of God. The Bible talks about that. We should have that reverential awe of God. We should understand that He is a great King. He is an awesome God. He's not one that we should mess with. He's one that we should honor, that we should revere. And folks, again, after all He's done for us, it should cause a love and a gratitude to well up in us and to want to say, God, I want to bless you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Well, what a contrast, these people to David, huh? Now, who do you want to be like? Better question, maybe. Who are you like? Not something you want to answer out loud, but just, who are you like, though, there? Let God speak to your heart on that. Now, God gives some more direction for their free will burnt offerings here in verse 4. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. So see, even though this was not a sin offering, in the act of consecrating themselves, atonement was made. See, they cared enough about a relationship with God to do something about it. To bring this sacrifice. God, I want to be all yours. I want you to accept me, just every bit of me. I am yours. I'm giving myself to you. And by placing the hand on the head of the animal, shows the concept of a substitutionary sacrifice. Their sins were being symbolically transferred to that animal. Now, in verses 5 through 9, God says, he shall kill the bull before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Unlike most of the other sacrifices, where a portion of the sacrifice was kind of held back and eaten by the priest, this was not. Everything but the skin, everything else, was completely consumed by fire on the altar. The concept of their sacrifice being totally consumed by the Lord. And just like the animal represented the person offering it in regards to their sin, the animal also represented the person in totally being given over to the Lord, totally being consumed by the Lord. It was the way of that person saying, Lord, I'm all yours. Take all of me. Now notice here at the end, this offering was a sweet aroma to the Lord. See, God likes barbecue as well, okay? But this was a sweet aroma to the Lord. When people of their own free will sacrificed to the Lord in the way that God had prescribed, God was blessed. He put a smile on his face. It was a sweet aroma to the Lord. You know how that is, right, guys? You got the barbecue going, and you throw a steak on there, it's about halfway done, and oh, you're smelling it sizzle. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed. It's coming. You know how that is. Well, God was being blessed there. It was a sweet aroma to Him. But notice something else. God wasn't blessed by just the burnt sacrifice of the herd. It wasn't just the most expensive sacrifice that blessed Him. The same was said for the burnt sacrifice of the flocks. Look down at verse 13. Look at the end of verse 13. That was a sweet aroma to the Lord. And even of the birds. Look at verse 17. Of the birds, the cheapest sacrifice was a sweet aroma to the Lord. See, what mattered was the person's heart. He was giving his best. That's what mattered. And giving his all for the Lord, wanting God to know, God, I'm all yours, and I'm grateful for that. Folks, Jesus is our substitutionary sacrifice for sin. He was totally consumed on the cross. Our sins was placed upon Him there. However, we are still to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. A sacrifice that's to be totally consumed by the Lord. Do you know that? You know what that sacrifice is? It's ourselves. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. like we've said before, after all He's done, and the love that He loves us with, the death that He died for us, purchasing us out of hell, it's only reasonable that we give ourselves completely to Him, isn't it? I mean, think where you would be if He wouldn't have done that. That really should generate that kind of gratitude, that kind of love, and that devotion that says, God, I'm all Yours. I'm Yours. God gave His best. Shouldn't we give our best? He gave His all. We should give our all. But there's another sacrifice that we can make, and that's the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:5 says, therefore, by Him, that's Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our worship team can come on up. We're going to do something a little different. In Psalm 69, verses 30 through 32, again David wrote, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. Let's stand up, and let's offer Him a sacrifice of praise. Father, we thank You for that fact. That, Lord, when we die, if we die before You come for Your church, we will fly away. Lord, we'll fly away not because of anything we have done, anything, good works or anything like that. But, Lord, we know we'll fly away because You promised that if we put our faith in You, that we would be saved. That You would receive us to Yourself when this life is over. Father, we pray that You would help us to be grateful. Help us to give ourselves to You daily. That we would die to ourselves daily and offer You our lives as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to You. You deserve that, Lord. And may You remind us of that. Father, we love You and we praise You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.